The gospel lesson for Epiphany 6 is Luke chapter 6 verses 17 through 26. This is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount in this, which is Matthew's. In this case, this is Sermon on the Plain. In chapter 5 of Luke, we see Jesus making disciples. In 6:17 and following, these people are for the first time called disciples, who make a response to Jesus' call to discipleship. And then we also, in this context, see a group that surrounds this inner circle. In fact, the disciples would be those who would be coming to hear Jesus and see him. And from that group, from within that group, there will be that 12 disciples who are called apostles. Yet, in the public ministry of Jesus, we see yet another outer circle, which is fundamentally the crowd. People from all over the place coming and flocking around Jesus and the disciples, listening to what Jesus has been teaching and also seeing what Jesus has been performing. So you have a crowd crowding around Jesus. That is the immediate context of this narrative here. And verse 17 here says, Kai katabas bet auton este epi topu bedido. Katabas is aorist and masculine singular, having descended or come down with them. Jesus is the one who is coming down. That means he was on a higher plane, another place, and he's coming down to a level place, shall we say, pi topu pedeno, a level ground, somewhat halfway between the mountain and the low-lying land near Capernaum. That is approximately where this situation can be located. And he came down with them, meaning the disciples, and yesterday he stood or took his position or perhaps stopped upon a level place. Oklos polos mateton auto, there we have it. Oklos polos, a big crowd, a much larger crowd of disciples of him. This would need not be the 12 apostles, but the disciples, those who have come to hear him. Kai, again, kai plethos polu tu lau, and a multitude, a great multitude of people, lau apo pases des Galileas kai Jerusalem, a vast multitude of people from all of Judea and of Jerusalem. There is every good reason to think that most of these people would be Jewish people who would be crowding around him. And definitely the Laos word here would then signify the Jewish people. Kai tes paraliu turu kai sidonas, from the paralios, the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. Verse 18, hoi elthon akusai autu kai ia tenai apoton nozon auton. And these people came to hear as well as to be healed from all diseases of them. We have the two infinitives here, aorist infinitives of purpose, to hear, akusai, as well as to be healed, passive infinitive, to be healed from all their diseases. Kaiho enoklu thomenoi apo pneumaton akatharton etherapionto. And these people were enoklumenoi. These people were crowded around by the evil spirit, almost choked in by the evil spirits. And that's the kind of people that have surrounded Jesus, not only to hear him, but also to be healed by his presence, by his touch, etc. Pneumaton akathaton, by the evil spirits. An interesting phenomenon here is in the modern age, exorcism is out of the picture, but in the case of Jesus, being the light of the world is actually fighting the powers of darkness, that is the evil spirits. And people of the first century, those who were surrounding Jesus, obviously knew this situation and they were crowding around him. Etherapeuonto, and they were healed. That's an imperfect passive, third plural. And they were healed. In verse 19, Kai pas oklos ezetun apetetai autu hoti dunamis par autu exerketo kai iato pantas. And the whole crowd, the mob, ha'aklos, ezetun, were seeking haptestai, haptamais, to touch, autu, dexterative, to touch him, coming in close proximity with this person, Jesus, in this case, the very Son of God, was an experience for these people. They crowded around him. And in our culture, where we look for our private space and, shall we say, sacred space around us, this is significant that Jesus allowed himself to be touched by these folks. And now, how did that? Dunamis, power, power out to, power from him, exerkento. That's an imperfect, went, exerkamai, went out. Ka iato pantas, you could take the iato healed as the power healing, rather better. I would take this as Jesus himself healing them. He healed all of them. Power went out from him and he healed them all. That's the introduction to what is soon to follow from page from verse 20 into 26. As we mentioned earlier, this is the sermon on the plain, as Luke's narrative has it. And verse 20, eparas autos eparas tus ophthalmos auto eis tus mathetas auto elegan. Eparas is aorist participle, epairo, to airo, to raise, and having raised, we will take it that way, having raised his eyes to ophthalmos autu, eis to mathetas autu. Earlier, Jesus, when he prays, would raise his eyes to heaven and pray. Raising the eyes, fundamentally eye contact. Now Jesus is raising the eyes and looking at the disciples, and he says to them, Makariai hoi tokai, the poor ones are blessed, shall we translate it that way. Hoi tokai is the subject. These are the blessed ones. These actually require a verb which we actually need to put in as in, which is not there, but it is implied. The poor are blessed would be a good way to translate, and that's how Dr. Gibbs translates that in his Matthew commentary. And blessed are the poor. The poor are blessed. And we go to the text apparatus. To pneumati is put in there to match the Matthew text. The blessed are the poor in the spirit. Much discussion has been going on and continues to go on who the poor are. The tendency in many situations, especially in the two-thirds world and in contemporary liberation theology, is to take tokoi as literally economically, socially poor. Granted, as that could be, biblically speaking, in the broader context of the reading here, in the light of the holistic view of looking at Scripture, poor in this case need not be just economically poor. Poor in the spirit, rather, would be a complete reading of this text, which will then imply that poverty of spirit is what is meant, regardless of the economic stability or instability a person may be in. This is a beatitude. This is a blessing that is indicative of the poor. In this case, the blessing is spiritual, although it is holistic. And the people who are called blessed, the blessed ones, are indeed poor in the spirit. That also illustrates the holistic nature of the gospel. The gospel is not just for the poor, although it is right that a lot of the Christians these days are indeed economically poor. But the gospel is inclusive. It is for all, regardless of how much wealthy or how poor you might be. One thing that makes you blessed in the eyes of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And such is the intention of the phrase here, hoti, and the hoti hubatera esten he basileia tu theou. Yours is the kingdom. Jesus is upon us, raising his eyes and looking at the disciples, at his disciples, eye to eye, as it were, and makes the statement, yours is the kingdom of God. So this is a relationship between the Savior and the saved, the Lord and those whom he has called around to be with him, to be his disciples, the church, believers in him. And he promises, yours is the kingdom of God. The second beatitude in verse 21, Makario hoi peinantos nun. Blessed are the ones, you are blessed, you is not here, the second person is not here. Blessed are the ones, as much as Jesus speaks to the disciples, we could put that in. The peinantos one, the hungry ones right now, and you shall be kortasthesaste, it's a future passive. You shall be satisfied. And note the word none there, right now. It's a present reality. And this hunger or the thirst for the things of God is an experience not limited to the economically poor, but for all people all over the world. The promise remains, you shall be satisfied. Third beatitude here, Makarioi hoi kliontes nun hoti gelasete. Same construction, note the word nun, kliontes. Klio is to cry. Blessed are the ones, the crying ones now, indicating the fact of the struggles and the pain and the sorrow of the people who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and the cry shall come to an end. Galasete, galao is the word. You shall laugh. The promise remains for those. The sorrows of the present time shall soon end, as this beatitude indicates. It is the present reality. Might be that the crying goes on, but the end is soon coming. There is a proleptic way of looking at this eschatologically, analyzing and understanding the life of a person who follows Jesus, strugglesome and struggling and poor as it might be and continue to be. The future awaits with satisfaction, with laughter and rejoicing in heaven. And the first three beatitudes go that way, and the fourth one in verse 22 takes a slightly different style. Makarioi este hotan mise sosin humas hoi anthropoi kai hotan afori sosin humas kai onai di sosin kai ek balosin to onama humon hon poneron aneka to hio to anthropu. Long statement here. Makaria este hotan mesesosen. Mesesosen is from miseo. This is the aorist subjunctive of miseo. You are blessed este when they hate you with that intentionality of hating you. The focus on action subjunctive here. When they hate you, this is normal. In the case of the followers of Jesus, there are haters of the followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus here says, blessed are you. And who are the haters? Hoi anthropoi, by men, pretty inclusive, all human beings, all who work negative to the way our Lord wants us to live our lives. Kai hotan afori zozen, that's another error subjunctive. They ask afori zozen to set apart, to separate. In this case, perhaps to ostracize. They intentionally separate you, therefore exclude you from within the boundary. That's actually what's happening. And these men, these human beings, when they exclude you from their group, humaskai onedosin, onedisosin, that's another aorist subjective, onedizo, to reproach, to face insult, throw names at you, name call you, etc. That's onedisosin, and ek balosin, literally another error subjective, literally throw around, ta onamo himon, throw around your name, thus your name becomes a byword for evil talk. They toss your name around as evil, hos poneron, and note the next one, henaka to hu anthropu, on account of, for the sake of, the Son of Man. Son of Man is obviously the title Jesus uses to refer to himself. And all this name calling, all this tossing around, and all this hating, and all this setting you apart afore his zozen, is all on account of the Son of Man. And there are different nuances to this. Sufferings have many different meanings and significances. But the point that is made here, especially of those who are now named as the blessed, is that they are going through this kind of struggle on account of the Son of Man, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 23, karete in ekainete hemera, kai skirte sete. Rejoice, simply translated, that's the first imperative, on that day, and skirte sete, and leap forth in joy. Leap forth in joy. Rejoice and leap forth in joy. That's those two verbs are very, very interesting. Actually, as we go to the Matthew text in 5:12, the tense is the present imperative, keep on rejoicing in an ongoing manner. And here we have the different sense, focus on action. So be bold in rejoicing in your sufferings and your isolation and in your struggles, that ostracizing struggle and separation, etc. Rejoicing all on account of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Rejoice and leap forth. Behold, on that day, that could be an existential way of looking at things. On that day has that eschatological sense to it, on the last day. But the life of a Christian is an ongoing life, today, tomorrow, till eternity. So anytime this kind of persecution and isolation and ostracizing takes place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so be it, and this is to be expected. At the same time, as we are put through this experience, we are encouraged to rejoice and leap forth in joy. And the reason is, behold, gar homistos humon polus ento uranu. If you take the te hamara kine, to mean eschatological, this makes a lot of sense because it is futuristic. Harmistos, the reward of yours is much in the heavens, in heaven. At the end of time, when the final eschaton unfolds, you will see the whole manifestation of the joy and the end, therefore, of the sufferings that we may go through. It may also be seen practically as a daily living experience, because every moment when a person goes through the struggles and suffering in the name and for the sake of the Son of Man, he experiences at the same time the joy and the satisfaction that he has, because he already knows that he's a child of God and he's servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the example follows here. Look here, kata tauta, in the same way, gar epoyusen tois prophetais hoi pateras auton. I'll start from the bottom. Hoi pateras auton, their fathers, their previous generations, years after years, centuries after centuries, have epoyusen, poeo, third imperfect plural, were doing tois prophetais to the prophets, recalling the Old Testament. I mean, the prophets made God's revelation known to the people. It is the very people of God who did not like the prophetic utterances. It is the very people of God who also persecuted the prophets. So the pattern continues even unto the age of the age. So the first four Beatitudes, 20 through 24, are declarations of blessedness, if you will. Blessed are, or the poor are blessed, the hungry ones are satisfied, the crying ones shall rejoice. And now we come to the curses, as it were. 24, 25, and 26 speak of the curses. Kind of a reversal, reverse paradigm is built into your plane. Uai human tos plusios. Again, plusios are the richer ones. Let's get the uai, woe to you. And it starts out with the plane. Plane is a parallel to the, is synonymous with the Allah, the adversity of alas, but alas, human tois plusios, you rich ones, alas to you. And then Hati class introduces apakete, ten para klesin himon. You have up echo, you have received your reward, as it is translated. Actually, comfort. You have received your comfort. Again, a challenging text here that is the whole theory of the poor versus the rich, against the rich. Fundamentally, the word tokoi can be interpreted as, and must be understood as, the spiritually poor. And how rich are you if you are spiritually poor is the question we must ask. And if richness is material, blessing and richness, then the text speaks so clearly, regardless of who you are. If you are rich, then you have already received your comfort. And think of that spiritually as well. If you think of your material blessing as the example, the exposition of your well-being, then you already have received your comfort, your joyous life. There is nothing yet to look forward to in the future. You have already received the comfort. That's how the text goes. Nevertheless, if the poverty that the scripture describes is universal, meaning regardless of how economically rich or poor you are, the poverty, the humility, the low nature of life of the human beings lived in the grace of God, even if you're poor economically, but fundamentally the humility that is required of people enables us to see, human beings, to see the poverty of our sin, our low estate, our fallen nature, and that requires the redemptive act of God to enter our lives and make us rich for the sake of His kingdom, and to look forward to that comfort that is not only realistic today, but it also has eternal value. Verse 25, Uai human hoi emplesmanoi nun. Emplesmanoi is the perfect participle of pip plemi, meaning to fill up and then also to satisfy. The ones having been filled up now, again the nun is used here, so the satisfaction, the filled or the fulfilled nature that a person might be experiencing right now, and Luke says, Jesus says, woe to you, because now you feel a sense of satisfaction, contentment, be it the economic wellness. In this case, even deeply, those who are self-satisfied, self-content, don't even ask life's ultimate questions, don't dialogue with their spirit to see how poor they are, how empty their way of looking at life and spiritual life is. The challenge is put before them in verse 25. Penasate is the word. You shall mourn. Yes, the rejoicing and the satisfaction shall soon disappear. The end time events are going to be harder on you. Yeah, penasate. You shall hunger. A day shall come when all the so-called satisfaction shall soon fade, and you will look for that is really fulfilling, and it may still be too late for that kind of an experience. And the third why is how the second part of verse 25 goes on. How galantas now. Galantas, the laughing ones, now, pentesete, how do pentesete? Pento means, this is the future of pento, you will mourn. And clausete, and that's again the future of clao, you will weep. So this is what's happening. You will weep and you will mourn. The celebration and the joyous experience shall soon fade, and worse things are yet to happen. And finally in verse 26, Uai hotan humas kalos aposen pontes hoi anthropoi. And when everyone, hoi anthropoi, all people, humas Carlos a person, Lego a pop, when all people speak well of you, woe to you is the admonition, is the warning that is given here. Katata auta ga a person toys pseudo prophetize hoi pateras auton, and their fathers did the same thing, kata tauta, in the same way also to the pseudo-prophetized, to the false prophets. So when somebody speaks well of you, beware. This could be deceiving, because the word statement here starts with why, woe to you, when other people speak well of you. This may be a sign, a repetition of what happened in the case of the false prophets. And look at the structure here. You have in verse verse 23, the admonition, the promise that is given to the believers, going back to the history of the people, that the rejoicing and celebrating because the reward is in heaven, because kata tauta gar epoyusin tois prophetais hoi pateras hamon, out on their fathers did to the prophets. Now here we have the, in verse 26, the fathers did to the false prophets. So the blessing, rejoicing, in the context of verse 23, against the struggles that you might have to go through, because that's the same way the true prophets of God had to go through in the time of the fathers. In verse 26, the order is the same, but the content is changed. So when woe or the alas, the adverse situation is pronounced, and this is how the false prophets were acknowledged by the fathers of ancient times. So the text herefore brings in the blessing and curses. Jesus had been making disciples, and a follower of Jesus has to foresee the life that he or she will have as he or she follows the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be adversities, challenges, stumbling blocks put on the way from the community, from the society, even from within the church. This is to be expected, especially in an age in which Christians are surrounded by people who are either falling away from faith or who have always been antagonistic to the truth of the gospel. A life under the cross of Jesus Christ, with him walking ahead of us, is always a life that is filled with challenges. The comfort comes to us from the Beatitudes, especially the first section, and the warning also comes to us and for the whole world in the second section. Jesus had been making disciples, and he had an inner circle that he called to be the apostles, but there was a multitude of the disciples that followed him to hear him and also to see the activities that he has been performing. And this is the situation in the ministry of the church today. People come to Christians, and people come to congregations to hear God's word. And in the Christian community, they also see and experience God's mighty acts that are taking place. Then there is also this broader circle. They are in there, but not really in there. They hear, and as I would say, yet do not believe. They see, yet do not completely understand. So the mission, therefore, of the church, especially during this Epiphany season, as we are winding up this season, this text works as a missional text to feed us with the spiritual nurture that we need through the Word of God, to motivate us also to be witnesses of God, what God has done in Christ Jesus, bringing to us and for the whole world a word of blessing and also a word of warning. A great text for us to learn, and empowered by it to witness Jesus Christ and his salvation for the whole world. And God bless us with these words.